Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand out of respect for the reading of God's holy word. And again, we want to welcome all of our friends from all around the world, from Russia to Nigeria, from Kenya to the Philippines, to the underground church in China. We thank God for all of the folks who unfortunately can't worship freely there, but they tune in here somehow, some way. And our friends in Sri Lanka as well, and all around the globe, we thank God for you, and we thank God for the technology that He has wrought through human beings that He has created. And we thank the Lord for those gifted individuals. I don't know about you, but I'm amazed at the gifts that God has bestowed upon people. I'm just amazed. Easter, according to the Nicene Creed, part 12, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 741, since January the 20th, 2017, day 1106, since January the 1st, 2016, and the Jesus, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign bus rolls on. Please focus your attention again on 1 Corinthians, and we're going to read a few extra verses today. For this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, and if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas. Did you send that over? Say it again? Yeah, but who? I know that who. You looked it up? And? Who? I know, but who is it? Huh? Okay. I wanted you to make sure. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And Cephas refers to Peter. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, that is Paul also, as of one born out of due time. Notice what Paul says about himself. Notice his humility. Notice how God digs deep and saves the most wicked sinners to give him glory. Verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle. He knew, based upon the criteria of being an apostle, being with Jesus for 3.5 years, he knew that he should not even be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. That's another reason why he should not be called an apostle. He persecuted the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He called it the church of God. But by the grace of God, he says, and every Christian ought to say this, if they're truly born again and saved and love Jesus, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. You need to be able to say that too. Have you been effective for the Lord? Have you witnessed for the Lord? Have you done what you could for the Lord? Because he says here, I worked harder than all the rest of them, but I labored more abundantly than they all. I worked harder than everybody, all of the apostles. Yet not I, he maintains his humility, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, makes no difference. We preached the same gospel, and so ye believed. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word, for as one young preacher has stated, the best part of preaching is the reading of your holy word, and it always should be in everybody's mind, not only the preacher, but the people in the pews, the people around the world listening. And so we give you the glory, praise, and honor for your divine word. And Holy Father God, we individually confess our sins, our weaknesses, our faults, our pride. Help us to be humble like Paul and realize it's only by your grace that we do anything worthwhile. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins. Help the people here to join me in prayer and not to take these meetings for granted. And Lord, help the people out there, Lord, to join us in prayer, because prayer invites you to do what you do. Without prayer to you, there will be no power and no moving of your Holy Spirit upon the hearts of wicked men and women inside the church and children and outside of the church as well. Lord, for many days I prayed for the healing of my throat. I thought it would never come back, humanly speaking. But Lord, I praise you and I thank you for the healing of my throat issue, whatever that was. And thank you for granting me your grace and your strength and the power of your Holy Spirit to keep on keeping on. And Lord, we pray now that you would rebuke and bind our enemy who is present, the devil and the demons of hell, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness, the satanic spirit of Tobias and Sanballat and others who specialize in trying to hinder your work from going forward in your holy gospel, in your holy word from going forward, Lord, and trying to distract us, these devils and demons and people who allow the devil to use them are masters of distraction. And we pray that you will help us to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. And Lord, cast out those demonic spirits from this place and from the lives of the people who have it. And Lord, I know many people don't want to deal with this kind of an issue, but you want us to, because the devil is real and he is battling us. He's not going to let me preach the gospel every day without a challenge. He's just not going to do it. That's not the nature of the devil. And so, Lord, we pray for continued victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, no matter how tough it may be. We pray, Lord, for the salvation of lost souls, for the revival of Christians, your holy name glorified, Jesus Christ exalted, and Satan always horrified at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated, and we thank God for all of you with us around the world via Periscope times two, Facebook lines going out of here times two, Gospelite House of Prayer, Gospelite Society, Spreaker, live, podcasting live. I think they're the only ones who do that. Maybe there's some other companies that are doing it now. But we thank God for all of you. And if you can't hear me or you can't see me or anything like that, there are many people here manning the cameras that will be able to assist you. Or you can go to Gospel Light House of Prayer. Now, ladies and gentlemen, regarding 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8, Mark Dunigan said, Paul is one who, from the spiritual point of view, was not born at the right time, because he had not been a disciple during the lifetime of Jesus. And all of you know the feeling of having missed out or not having the original experience. His calling, he goes on to say, is somewhat forced as well as abnormal. He is torn from his previous course of life by the powerful intervention of the exalted Savior Jesus Christ. This was no doubt one of the most dramatic conversions. Now, I do understand it. Please understand. I do understand it in the sense that my salvation experience was not as dramatic like Paul's, but it was dramatic for a sinner like me, because I was going in the opposite direction. I hated church. I hated Christians because I was raised around them, and I had some issues. And I was lost and on my way to hell, and did not know I was going to hell, but I knew I was lost. And I knew that the churches that we had been involved in, they didn't have the answer. If they did, they never shared it with me. And so I was going to hell fast on a bullet train. And a young man from a Bible-believing church came by my dorm room, room 316, one night, and showed me the gospel, shared with me the Romans road, the way to salvation and trusting Christ as Savior. And I had a dramatic salvation experience. I didn't see any lights that night, but my life changed instantaneously from the clubbing, womanizing, hell-raising individual I was. 3 days later, by the grace of God, with this local church, I was on the street corners of New Orleans during the Christmas rush, preaching the gospel. I only knew two verses, but I preached them hard. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I understand this conversion. Not as dramatic as the Apostle Paul, but I understand how that people can have a great turnaround once they trust Christ immediately, because I was one of them. But the good doctor goes on to say, Paul didn't consider his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus to be a visionary experience necessarily, but an actual resurrection appearance of the same kind as the others mentioned in this series. His seeing Jesus was as objective as theirs. Amen, somebody. And so, ladies and gentlemen, on today, we are continuing our series drawn from the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and a historical text based on the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that was passed down from the early church all the way to us today, called the Nicene Creed. In this series, beloved, we are talking about the importance of the historical Christian faith that was passed down to us from the early church. How that we as Christians, unfortunately, who are falling away from it, ought to return to it. And how that the world ought to hear it so they can believe on Christ and be saved from the hell that they're going to. Regarding the existence of creeds in the early church, Dr. J. N. D. Kelly said, examples could easily be multiplied, and the conclusion is inescapable that however anachronistic it may be to postulate fixed creedal forms for the apostolic age, the documents themselves testify to the existence of a corpus of distinctively Christian teaching. In this sense, it is legitimate to speak of the creed of the primitive church or the early church, nor was it something vague and nebulous without precision of contour. Its main features were easily defined, end of quote. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, in this series, we have looked at the following factual statements from the Nicene Creed based upon the Word of God. And it goes like this. We believe in one God, the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women. And we added this part, the disciples and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And so, ladies and gentlemen, today we will continue looking at the next section of the new Nicene Creed, which reads as follows. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And so, ladies and gentlemen, from this stanza, if you will, this passage, we have seen that Jesus' ascension marked not an ending but a beginning and continuation of the work of announcing the kingdom. Second, the ascension marks the beginning of the fulfillment of Christ's kingdom. Third, the ascension marked Jesus' return to the Father after the completion of his work, which on the cross he said, it is finished. In the ascension, we also see the expectation of Christ's return. The Nicene Creed says he will come again with glory. Amen, somebody. We are, as preachers have said down through the years, we are not looking for the undertaker, we're looking for the uppertaker. After his ascension, two angels appeared to the disciples and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And I, again, this is another passage that I just get tickled about, how the angels talked to the humans. It was kind of like they were, you know, shocked that you, why you, what, like the angel at the tomb. He said, "He is risen, like he told you." These angels are saying, what are you doing? Standing here, gazing up into the sky. Let's get busy. He'll be back. And I just get so tickled how the angels just talk to man. And I can just see that scene. And how, matter of fact, they looked and sounded at the men of Galilee. And I just get so tickled by how they talk to human beings during that time. But anyway, perhaps the one thing that has driven Christianity forward more than anything else is the expectation that Jesus Christ is coming again. All other religions worship and follow a dead leader, and they go to their tombs to get some kind of inspiration or hope. But Christians worship and serve and follow a living Savior. Our Savior is not dead. He's not here. As the angel said, the early saints saw him ascend into the sky with their own eyeballs. They talked to him and ate with him and fellowship with him after he rose from the dead. And one of the reasons why we're emphasizing 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the following verse 1 and the following verses, and emphasizing the Nicene Creed, because it is a shame that the church has somehow left out a part of the gospel for many years. And a part of the gospel is the eyewitness testimony of Mary Magdalene and the women, Peter, James, all of the other disciples, minus the devilish Judas, and then last of all, Paul, and then over 500 brethren saw Jesus before he ascended into heaven. Amen, somebody. My dear friends, that is a part of the gospel. And the reason why I say that is because that's the part that deals with the skeptics and the unbelievers, those who call themselves atheists and agnostics, who are going to ask every time, how do we know this to be true? Well, these men are eyewitnesses. So are you going to call them liars? That's the only way you can deny the resurrection. These men saw Jesus. They saw him die. They saw him, and then he rose from the dead. And after that, they saw him walking around and talking and eating. So this is a crucial part of the gospel and should be in the Apostles' Creed as well as the Nicene Creed. And I took the liberty to put it in there by the grace of God. You say, well, who do you think you are? Well, I say with Paul, I am who I am in God, by God's grace. How did Paul say it? He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's who I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And these are words that people can borrow. You're not Paul, but you can borrow those words if you are living up to that, by the grace of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, we don't make pilgrimages to Jesus' tomb seeking a special blessing or guidance. Now, there's some Catholics who do that stuff, but I'm talking about Bible-believing, born-again Christians. We don't do that. Now, we go for the historical aspect of it and to learn more about the faith and all of that, but we don't look for anything special. We don't look for any inspiration or some great blessing from going to the tomb of Jesus, because Jesus is not there. You can stay home and get a blessing from Jesus, man. You don't have to go all the way to Jerusalem, go to the tomb and all of that. But it's good to do. We aren't looking to the ground for our deliverance. We're not looking to the grave, dear friend. No, no, no. We are looking up into glory, because that's the direction in which our resurrected Savior went. And we have eyewitness testimony to that fact as well. You can't deny eyewitness testimony. And I want you to see what God did. Over 500 people witnessed this, the resurrection of Christ. Now, if a man's going to rise from the dead under his own power, he can't go no place else but up. Well, where else is he going to go? He can't go any place else but up, man. What are you talking about? We're not looking to the ground. We're not looking to the grave. We got too many Christians who are looking at the grave too much. As the old preachers used to say, we're not looking for the undertaker. We're looking for the uppertaker. Can somebody say amen? Whether we're raptured or whether we die, we're still looking for the uppertaker, man. Are you kidding me? Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. He ascended, and we expect him to descend one day and take us to be with him. Do you know him as your Savior? Are you born again? Have you trusted the resurrected Christ, man? Over 500, all you need to say, Christians, from now on, when you share the gospel, over 500 eyewitnesses saw him after he rose from the dead and he descended into heaven. They saw him with their own eyeballs. I believe you're going to see more heads drop in prayer. Do you want to trust Christ as Savior? Yes. Amen. Yeah, I believe you're going to see more souls saved if you emphasize the fact that there were over 500 witnesses that saw him rise from the dead. Now, you can call one man a liar, but you can't call 500 people a liar or liars. That's a whole lot of lying going on. I mean, my soul, you talk about a conspiracy. Certainly somebody would have broke. Dr. David Guzik points out that the way in which Jesus Christ left the earth was different from the way in which he had appeared and disappeared to his disciples over the 40 days after his resurrection. He brings up a good point. Jesus was taken up from them as he was blessing them, slowly disappearing into the sky. If that don't make you have some joy in your heart, if that don't do something on the inside of you, something's wrong somewhere. The blessing apparatus in your being has been shot. You got a short in it or something. Something's wrong. Or you have been slipped a Mickey. You have never been born again. If this stuff does not excite you, the resurrection of Christ, over 500 plus people seeing Jesus walk on the earth after the resurrection, watching him ascend from the earth into the sky, just standing there talking to him, he just starts ascending up into the sky, into a cloud. And they were just looking. What? Did you see that? Yeah, man. What's up, man? Lord Jesus, please come back. And the angels had to come down and say, hey, you men of Galilee, come on. The same Jesus you saw go into heaven will come back one day. Now it's time to get busy. Get busy, get busy, get busy. Certainly could have simply vanished. Can you imagine that? He's standing in the midst talking, teaching, and he just vanishes. Oh, what happened? Yeah, we've seen that before. He'll be back. He's probably going to encourage somebody else right now. He'll be back. Jesus certainly could have simply vanished, Guzik said, to the Father's presence in a secret sort of way. But Jesus wanted to let his disciples know with certainty where he was going. After Jesus had disappeared beyond the clouds, the disciples stood gazing into the sky. And that is when the angels appeared and told them that Jesus would come back one day and that they needed to get busy right now. Amen, somebody. And that's what's wrong with the church. You know why some of you are so filled with envy about others and so jealous of others and so mean and hateful? You know why you're so worried and fretting all the time? I'm talking to you Christians who claim to be Christians. You're worried and fretting about other people and other situations because you're not busy, man, woman. You're not busy for the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, my dear friend, you're going to live that kind of life for the rest of your life if you don't get busy serving the God who made you. Because he is the one that you're going to have to answer to when you leave here. And God is very concerned about you being busy for him. Watch and work. Pray, work, and watch. Jesus said, I say to you all, watch. And while you're watching, work. Because the day comes, or the night falleth, and you can't work anymore. So whatever you're going to do for the Lord, do it now and do it with all of your might. Some of you people are not happy. You're not cheerful. You're not joyful. You're envious of other people. You're jealous of other people. You're hateful. You're mean to your own family members and friends. You're bitter. You're resentful because you're not busy doing what God told you to do. Pray without ceasing. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Disciple the believers. There's plenty of work to do. And most Christians today do not pray what Jesus told us specifically to pray, to add more laborers to the whited harvest field. We won't even do that. We don't witness. We don't tell anybody about Jesus. The surveys have been done. The angels, they were just taken aback, it seemed to me. Like the angel at the tomb. You know, they... Angels was like, you know, what's up, man? Why y'all standing here gazing into the sky? Let's get busy. Let's do the work that Jesus told you to do. Turn the world upside down. And we got a situation going on today where the world is turning the church upside down. Like the disciples, we ought to be about our Father's business. Like the young Jesus. Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. And there's nothing more beautiful than a young person who's on fire for God and serving God. One of the greatest things I thank God for, and only by his grace, is that I have served God from my youth, from the age of 19. I wish I had gotten saved earlier. A whole lot of bad things could have been avoided. But I got saved at 19, and I've been serving God ever since. And like Paul said, only by the grace of God. Nothing I have done. I'm dead, man. I know you don't understand that, but I'm dead. I know you don't understand the kind of language. You say, well, you're living. No, it's not me. It's Christ living in me and through me. I've been crucified, man, a long time ago. This is not Daniel White the third. This is not Danny B, I can assure you that. Be that as it may, but we ought to look up in expectation of Christ's return. And then, ladies and gentlemen, I have so much more to say, but I'm going to say it to you tomorrow morning if the Lord tarries, his coming and we live. and in light of the resurrection of Christ and his ascension, is just as real as you're looking at me right now. And heaven is just as real as you're listening to me and hearing me right now. And so is hell. This is real talk, man. Ain't nobody playing. Ain't nobody playing. This is real talk, my dear friends. We're talking about a real man named Jesus, God-man named Jesus Christ, a real Savior, the only Savior of the world, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for our sins, and with many infallible proofs was resurrected from the dead. Eyewitness testimony, over 500 people. Are you really going to call 500 people liars? So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it now. I know thou believest, most noble Festus. I know you believe. Go ahead on and make it seal the deal. Go ahead on and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Stop playing. And trust him as your Savior today. And pray the prayer with me. And ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save your soul. You know why you don't want to do it. Because you don't want to get rid of that honey pie that you can sneak off with. And you enjoy that secret relationship that you think nobody knows about. You know why you don't want to do it. Because you love that sin. You like that maintenance man coming by every Tuesday that you are involved with and nobody knows about it. You like your homosexuality. You love sin too much. Well, let me think about it, you know, because, you know, I got some things going on. I got to get my life cleaned up. No, you're going to die and go to hell before you get your life cleaned up. You can't clean up your life. You need Jesus. He's Mr. Clean, if you will. For real. Let me go to this last party. Let me go to this last shindig. You know, we got to get it on. I've been invited. You know, RSAVP or whatever you did. And I got to go. I got to show up now. They got a place for me. You don't have to go. Just call them up and tell them, hey, I have another party to go to. And it's a Jesus party. And I'm going to invite you. And you don't need to RSVP. Just come on. We're going tonight. We're having church tonight. This church here has church on Saturday and Sunday. So come right now. I'm not going to the party with you tonight. I just met Jesus. Something happened in my heart. I want it to happen to you. What? So stop playing. Stop holding on to your sin that you love so much. Repent of it. Turn away from it. Say, you know what? I'm going to follow Jesus. The man died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Over 500 people saw him alive. And then they saw him ascend into heaven. I need to get on the soul train and trust Christ as my Savior today. How about it, dear friend? Do you understand that you are a sinner? That you have done evil in God's sight? You and I have broken God's laws, and so has the Pope and I. We all have sinned against God. We all have fallen short. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have messed up. We're all in the same sin boat now, be you white, black, red, or yellow, makes no difference. We're all in the ugly sin boat, sinking down the hell. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. Just this past week, a man was executed for killing another man. I assure you that if man can kill man for killing another man, you can rest assured that you're going to die for your sins and I'm going to die for mine. The Bible says very clearly in the book of Hebrews, after death, the judgment. You will face judgment day. I know we don't hear this much in our churches today, but dear friend, judgment day is coming. Judgment day is coming. The Bible says in Romans 6:23 today, for the wages of sin is death. Have you ever sinned? Well, then you're going to die. You're going to die physically. Your body will cease operating and you will be put into a grave 6 feet under. Your soul will go to a place called hell or the lake of fire immediately once you die if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. I wish I could tell you something that you want to hear, but I can't do that. That's not what God called me to do. And I'm not going to tell you a lie. I'm not going to tell you a lie that there's some kind of limbo or there's some kind of holding place, some kind of purgatory. That's all made up fantasy stuff. That's not in the Bible. You're going straight to hell. And you will know why you're there. And if you don't know, now you know. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Yes, the loving, lowly, meek one preached more on hell than all of the prophets in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he loves us, not because he hates us. You know you can't go to heaven like you are unless you are covered by the blood of Jesus. Unless you have trusted Christ as Savior, you know that. Right now, if you had a party and someone came along and said, why don't you invite the prisoners down at the prison in the county, the prison to your party, what you going to say? You're going to say, no, I can't have that. I don't know what they're going to do. Well, you can't go to heaven if you're not changed, if you're not born again and got some heaven clothes on. That is, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, being washed in the blood of Christ, made white as snow because of him, not because of us. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a place of darkness. If you have claustrophobia, which I thought I had as a child, you don't want to go to hell because you're going to be locked into hell forever. There's no place else for you to go. Hell is a place, Jesus said, of gnashing of teeth because of the pain. You will hear the gnashing of teeth for the rest of your existence. Hell is a place of constant torment and burning. Hell is a place of an agonizing, painful memory because you're going to remember this day that by divine appointment you heard me preach the gospel like you've never heard it before. And God was tugging at your heart, but you love your sin more than you want to get saved. And you say, yeah, I believe what you're saying, preacher, but give me one more night with the frogs. One more night to party and to get drunk. One more night to do drugs. One more night to whore around and to shack up. You say, well, preacher, can you tell me some of the other folks who are going to hell? I'm glad you asked. Also, the Bible talks about people who are going to hell in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Here's a list of folk going to hell, going to the lake of fire. But the fearful, people too afraid to get saved because they are concerned about being politically correct. They're concerned about their family members, mom and them, in peer pressure. They know they can't hang around the devilish people anymore. But the fearful and unbelieving, the so-called atheists, today, the so-called agnostics, they refuse to believe. And the abominable, these are people who go beyond the pale with sin and evil. They're not satisfied with the simple sins. They got to twist it all up like wicked devils. They're not satisfied with the sin of fornication. They got to have with a man and a woman. They got to have sex with a man and a man, a woman and a woman. God calls homosexuality an abomination. It's beyond the pale. It not only disgusts God, it disgusts even human beings. And then you got folk who are not satisfied with that. They want to twist it even more. The abominable people, they commit abominable acts such as having sex with children, sitting on their computer at 38 years old, looking at an 8-month-old child and lusting after that child. You got to be kidding me. That's an abomination. Where are you going, man? You think you're going to heaven doing mess like that? You got to be kidding. You say, preacher, you don't sound so loving. I am loving because I'm telling you the truth. Which parent do you respect the most right now out of your two parents? The one who lied to you and bought you little sugar cakes and little sugar candies all the time and just appease you and let you do what you want? Or that one parent who stood flat footed and said, no, you can't have a sugar candy, sugar cakes, or sugar candy, and you can't have your way? You respect the one who restrained you from doing evil and messing up your life more now that you're grown. God loves everybody. He loves us so much that He has warned us about our sins and the destructive power of sin. He loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. He was buried and He rose on the third day. Abominable acts, abominable people. Then you have folk who are not satisfied with that, lusting after children and participating in pornography with children, raping children, molesting children. Now they do that, and then they want to move on to having sex with dogs and horses. You say, well, preacher, where do you get this from? It's in the Bible. Read your Bible. God forbids it. He calls it an abomination. These people are going to hell. Are you one of them? You can repent of your sins and trust Christ as Savior. I don't care what you have done. And God does not care what you've done. If God can use Paul, who persecuted the bride of Christ, God can use anybody. God digs down deep into the muck and mire of sin, and He can save anybody. He can save you, no matter what you've done. The abominable. Then if they're not getting enough abominable acts out of that foolishness, they have sex with their own family members. They commit incest, lusting after their own sisters and brothers and sons and daughters and children and parents and all kinds of twisted, ungodly, satanic garbage from hell. Where you think you're going? Where you think you're going? You're not going to heaven like that, man. You got to be saved. You got to be born again. You've got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, you're not going to hear this on Sunday morning in most of the churches in America today or any place else. I've been all across England and Europe, and the churches that used to preach this are torn down. They're ruins. They're ruins. We go see the ruins of churches all across England, all across Europe. You can hardly find a church that would preach even John 3:16 as being true. Murderers are next. The abominable people, they're beyond the pale. They are just disgusting, not only to God, but to even human beings. And then we have murderers. And see where they are listed? They come underneath those jokers. People who kill other people. I told you this past week, a man killed a man 20 years ago. He paid the price this past week. Murderers go to hell, go to the lake of fire. Now, you ask, now I'm telling you. And whoremongers, all right now. Millions of whoremongers. Heterosexual sinners. Men hunting for whores, being whoremongers themselves. Women whores, whoring around with men and on the hunt for men, whoremongering. Committing fornication and adultery, they're going to hell. And sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo, palm readings, horoscopes, going to hell. I know that this is not popular. I'm not trying to be popular. This is not even preached in most churches. It's in their Bibles. They don't preach it. That's why I preach on it every day. And idolaters, people who put anything and everything and anybody before God. There are people today who worship their dogs. They'd rather spend time bathing their dog on Sunday morning than to go to church and worship God. There are people who worship their children only to get their hearts broken. People who worship their cars and their houses and money. The little g god of money. Millions worship that money, that almighty dollar. Money, 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 money. And all liars, all liars. This is the last one. All liars. If God did not get you on these other ones. What other ones? Idolaters. What other ones? Sorcerers. What other ones? Unbelieving, atheists, agnostics, the fearful, the abominable people, just wickedly disgusting, and murderers and whoremongers. All liars. If you're a liar, your default way of operating is by telling a lie. The first thing that comes to your mind is that you're going to lie. You're going to cover it up. You can't say a sentence. You can't make a sentence without lying. You are a walking lie, as we used to say back in the day. You're a lie. Your feet ain't made, and your heart pumps peanut butter. You're just a lie. Our grandmothers used to say, you're a lie, and the truth ain't it. You come there with telling her a lie, she can look at you and tell you're lying. And she would say, you're a lie, and the truth ain't in you. That's bad English, but it's true. How about it? You asked me, I told you. Now, if you're in that number, you're going to hell. If you're committing these sins, you're on your way to hell. And you don't have to go there. Because I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, said when he was here in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That includes you. All whoremongers. All homosexuals. I don't know why homosexuals get mad when you call out their sin. We're talking about adulterers and fornication, and we got people fornicators. We got like a whole lot of those in the church. Sad to say, all idolaters, all liars, everybody, for God so loved the world. That includes you, black, white, red, or yellow. Whether you're down with the white supremacists or the black supremacists, for God so loved the world. That includes you. That he gave his only begotten son. His name is Jesus Christ. That whosoever, that means anybody at any time. The Ku Klux Klan wizard and the head of the Black Panthers. Makes no difference. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou you shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That is, perish where? Perish in hell. But have everlasting life where? In heaven, to be with God and Jesus forever. That's a beautiful thing. That's a great deal. Take it. So just believe in your heart, my beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Believe that he died for your sins. He suffered and bled and died for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Over 500 other people saw him with their own eyeballs. Eyewitnesses. You cannot deny an eyewitness. So trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. And pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul. For here is his promise to you. Romans 10:9-13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, saying that he is now your Lord, you are receiving him as your Savior, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal hell. He said, well, you know, that's wonderful, but I want to be saved from financial problems. I want to be saved from marriage problems. That's all well and good and dandy, but I think on the, when you get everything lined up, the main thing you want to be saved from is eternal hell. We can work out these other things by the grace of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So how about it, dear friend? Wherever you are in the world, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Follow me in prayer. We're going to call on the name of the Lord. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have committed many of these acts, such as lying, idolatry, taking your holy name in vain, lusting after people and things, stealing, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul and forgive me of all of my sins. Lord Jesus, I now believe in you the best way that I know how with all of my heart, that you suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. I receive your free gift of salvation. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again from the dead on the third day, with infallible proofs of his resurrection, over 500 people saw him alive. Not just Peter, not just John, not just the disciples, not just Paul, not just James, not just Mary Magdalene, but over 500 other brethren saw him at once. You cannot deny eyewitness testimony. So allow me to say, if you've done that today, if you've trusted in Christ, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material to help you grow in the faith that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. We love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
I don't know why.